You know, a name in the new media, a name in the investigative, as an investigative journalist, Alicia Powe, P-O-W-E, Alicia Powe, with WorldNet Daily, WND.com. If you haven't heard about her, you will. If you have heard about her, you know the good work that she does. She is an investigative journalist, and I would say just a tremendous one. I mean, her investigative work product is again, speaks volumes for her, number one, her courage, number two, her thoroughness, and I mean thoroughness, and her ability to look at things and to get to the bottom of things. Before we get to Alicia, Alicia, I just want to mention that I want to congratulate Bob and Maggie, if you're listening, longtime listeners, by the way. They're going to be great grandparents. You don't look a day over 30, Bob, Maggie. Yeah, I'm telling you. But congratulations on that. Going to be great grandparents. Got the news, and that was quite a gift. It says congratulations on it. You know, great grandparents. Wow. You're getting old, Bob. Bob, you're getting old, buddy. I'm kidding. Congratulations. Also, folks, T.C. Joseph, This Generation series of novels. Man, if you haven't gotten those books, you got to get them and read them, and even give them to your friends, relatives, neighbors, pastors, whatever. Three great books. They're fictionalized accounts. Take you through the lives of three families. The first book is Precipice. Second book is Pentecost. Third book is Penance. T.C. Joseph, This Generation series. He's a phenomenal writer. His writing ability is just incredible. But he's able to write a story that really mimics the events of today. So if you've got somebody out there who doesn't like to read about what's really taking place, but will read a fiction book, this series will do so, and in so doing, will convince that person the lateness of the hour. T.C. Joseph, thisgenerationseries.com, and also available on Amazon. Great guy, great piece of work. Alicia Powe is our guest, WND.com, investigative journalist extraordinaire. Joe, I'm going to have you
for WorldNet Daily.
Yeah.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for having me back.
Thanks for coming back.
Yeah,
it's great to see it, folks. If you're those listening on Global Star or BTR, if you go to YouTube, you can see the talented and beautiful Alicia Powe.
So where do you want to start tonight?
Yeah.
Oh, where do I want to start?
Yeah, where do you want to start?
Oh, well, it's been a tremendous last couple of weeks. You know, I left off about a month ago writing about trying to uncover information about how pharmaceutical industries are, running rampant in the United States and people are over-medicated. And that all got put on pause when the Seth Rich story came back into the forefront of the news, at least for conservative websites, because it's pretty much been omitted and ignored by the mainstream media, by CNN and MSNBC and the left, this Huffington Post and such. So ever since then, I've been writing about Seth Rich most of the day, doing a lot of investigating reports on that. And
Alicia, I was kind of surprised, taken aback by, to me, okay, this Seth Rich case is really part of a larger, huge case. Obviously, it figures into the DNC. This is not pipe in here any time, but, and correct me if I'm wrong, figures into the DNC case. Of course, there was a case that was filed back by Beck, the Beck, Jared Beck and Elizabeth Beck, back in June of last year, and on behalf of Bernie Sanders, whereas they were saying, look, money given to the DNC was really misappropriated to Hillary Clinton by Debbie Wasserman Schultz. So Seth Rich was involved in this morass of stuff. But I was really surprised to hear last, I guess it was last week or the week before, Jared Beck, the attorney again on this case, going to the judge and asking the judge for protection for witnesses and potential witnesses in light of Seth Rich and Sean Lucas and others. Now, he was denied that protection. But I thought, wow, how come we didn't hear about this? I mean, aside from what you've done and said.
Well, let's backtrack a little bit. So we found out through leaked DNC emails last July and the months following, leading up to the presidential, to the day we all voted for, you know, who's going to be our next president, we found out that the DNC was rigging the election against Bernie Sanders. And it really didn't take leaked emails for us to figure that out, because we saw some of the primaries won with coin tosses. We saw superdelegates just basically take all the votes Bernie Sanders got away, and she would just win the election with superdelegates. But all of that rigging was substantiated, we found out, through these leaked emails. And so Bernie Sanders supporters were outraged, and some of them still are, about how their election was rigged. Perhaps Bernie Sanders, we'd all be saying President Bernie Sanders today if the Democrats had not stolen the nomination from him. So these two lawyers who were Bernie Sanders supporters, their married couple, Jared and Elizabeth Beck, filed a lawsuit against the DNC. And one of the hearings, during one of the hearings of this lawsuit that has been completely ignored by, you know, CNN, MSNBC, and the leftist media that run the news cycle every day, they, during the hearing, lawyers for the DNC admitted that they rigged the election, and they said, well, our charters don't prohibit us from picking our candidates or selecting our candidates. So that happened back in about 2 months ago, and we reported on it. I wrote about it. And then about 2 weeks ago, the law firm representing Sanders supporters, the Becks, they received a phone call from someone basically trying to find out information about the lawsuit using a voice-changing device. And they tracked where this number came from, who called them, and it came from Debbie Wasserman Schultz's office. So since then, Jared and Elizabeth Beck have filed a different motion in their lawsuit where they outline how Seth Rich was unusually murdered, and they took out an order of protection because they've received death threats along with that weird, bizarre message that they received with a voice-changing device from Debbie Wasserman Schultz's office.
It's crazy.
So it's kind of baffling. Imagine if CNN or MSNBC would actually report this bizarre brazen rigging of democracy, of elections that the Democrat Party's participated in. And that's just not getting into all the suspicious evidence and circumstances surrounding Seth Rich.
That's
who
right.
Who is a conspiracy theorist. We're all conspiracy theorists for mentioning Seth Rich, but disrespecting the family for bringing him up. How dare we?
Yeah, exactly. And I've got to say, your work on that subject, on Seth Rich, is second to none. You've done some phenomenal work, and I would look at this as not conspiracy theorists, but conspiracy analysts. And definitely by definition, there was a conspiracy. I truly believe if there's more than one person involved in the, reported homicide of Seth Rich, indeed, that it fits the definition of conspiracy. But yeah, exactly. So you've done some phenomenal work. By the way, interesting. So the voice changer to the, Jared Beck, the law firm used in this phone call, Alicia, we have used, well, let me restate this. We know that there's technology out there that could be used to spoof numbers. In other words, I could call you, make it look like I'm calling you from the White House.
Right.
Okay. Now, we know that the voice changer, software was used, but is it possible that Wasserman Schultz's phone number could have been spoofed onto that caller ID?
It's possible, but I mean, okay, we should explore, we should investigate, but it's also possible that they did that, that they did use I mean, after all of the things that have surfaced about the Democratic National Committee, the Democratic Party in the last year, I mean, why rule out the possibility that that happened? And either way, it's not up for us to decide. It's going to be put before a judge.
There you go.
And so we can just report on what happened. Speculation is meaningless.
Thank you. Thank you. Where are you at, Alicia, with respect to your investigation, your findings? If you want to give us kind of a quick summary of what you've uncovered, your columns, your reports for WND, because your writing's fabulous. Where are we at with this?
Well, as far as the DNC goes in this lawsuit, on Wednesday, I should be speaking with Mrs. Elizabeth Beck about the DNC using the voice changer, about why they feel threatened by the Democratic National Committee to have to go and put an order of protection, and can find it, call out any information from her as we can that will not only advance whatever's going on with Seth Rich, but also, I mean, come on, nobody's talking about this, how the DNC is getting sued for rigging the primary. That is just ridiculous. Let's just take for a second. We know what it'd be like if Republicans had rigged the election and it would be outrage everywhere. We're talking about Trump being impeached for colluding with Russia. And, you know, Republicans aren't defending President Trump, saying how dare Democrats call for his impeachment. But they also won't even weigh in on Seth Rich, who is the alleged leaker of the DNC emails, who is, right, Russia in this case, right? Trump colluded with Russia to leak DNC emails. Well, what if it was this slain DNC staffer, Seth Rich, who Julian Assange, founder of WikiLeaks, claims is the person who leaked the emails? I mean, you can say he insinuated that Seth Rich leaked these emails, but he says it in pretty plain English. The guy we got the information was not robbed. We got the information from was not robbed. He was shot in the back, and it had nothing to do with the robbery. Well, who else is he talking about? I mean,
right. Well, you know what, Elisa, one thing before Joe, I know Joe's got a couple of things he wanted to mention. What I found really interesting, now, in your investigation, after Seth Rich was shot, where was he taken? He was taken to MedStar, correct? The level one
trauma
center?
That's not substantiated, right?
Okay.
Now, if it were MedStar, my editor and I, we decided I'm going to go into the hospitals and try to find out more information from the hospitals. That's the angle we need to investigate that day. And just by asking for more information about Seth Rich, I was escorted by security guards to my car, who followed me and stared at me like I was a bandit to make sure I got into my car. And then I spoke with the public relations person from MedStar Washington Hospital, and she advised me never to enter the hospital again unless she is walking around the hospital with me. And I guess that's HIPAA law, but apparently you should be able to release an autopsy report.
Yep.
Regardless of HIPAA law, you should be able to.
I could walk in and get an autopsy report, Alicia. I mean,
we need the ballistics report because apparently, according to a private investigator, Seth Rich, an FBI van was burglarized about 2 hours before Seth Rich was killed, and those guns went missing, and that story was not really reported on, wasn't reported on at all. And were those bullets from those guns in Seth Rich's body when he was found shot? We don't know. And because they won't release the ballistics report, I mean, that might sound outlandish, but it was just a couple of blocks from he was killed the same night. The only thing that's going to prove is the ballistics report. And that's something that the Metropolitan Police Department will not reveal.
And it bothers me a lot that this is not being revealed. Because, again, in my capacity as an investigator, and it's my understanding in your capacity as an investigative journalist, you should be able to walk into the hospital, request not even the hospital. You could walk into the coroner's office. It depends on where you are in the country, who would ever handle the certificate of death and the autopsy, depending on who does the autopsy and who handles that, the maintenance of records. But nonetheless, you should be able to get that. But having said that, here's why I brought this up. What bothered me is after the Representative Scalise was shot and taken to MedStar, let's just assume for a moment, speculate that Seth Rich was taken to MedStar. Put that in the back of your mind. Now, Scalise was shot last week. He was taken to MedStar. Donald Trump, with his wife, Sean Spicer, visited Scalise at MedStar. But okay. With them was his, Donald Trump's personal physician, who also, Ronnie Jackson, Donald Trump's personal physician, who went with them, Donald Trump and Mrs. Trump and Sean Spicer, for reasons that we don't know, but it looks a lot like there was some concern when his condition went from serious to critical.
I'd be concerned because here's the reason why we need to find out which hospital Seth Rich was in, and here's the reason why maybe there'd be some concerns about whether Scalise was going to receive proper care there. There are high-ranking people at that hospital who have ties to the Podestas and to Hillary Clinton's campaign. I mean, you can just go through Reddit and 4chan and find out and other various reports. Now, WND is not going to report that because we don't know if he was in that hospital, even though all these signs point to the fact that he was taken there, and the approximation it was from the time EMS picked him up to the hospital was about 7 minutes, which leads us to believe he was at MedStar Hospital. The vicinity, it takes about that much time. Howard University Hospital is a bit closer. So, yeah, there's ties to people. There's someone named Dr. Jack Sava, who we've tried to contact repeatedly, who has ties to Podesta, John Podesta, Hillary Clinton's campaign chairman. And there are other people who have ties to the campaign at that hospital. I mean, Clinton's people at that hospital. So that's probably, you know, I think Reagan said when he was shot to the doctors operating on him, I hope you're a Republican.
Today. I hope you're a Republican today. You're a Republican, and then the doctor said something like, I am today, or something to that effect.
Right. Yeah. To that sentiment, I suppose that's why Trump and his made sure everything was okay in that hospital. So tomorrow morning, the head of an investigative team who is been investigating the Seth Rich murder is holding a press conference, and they're going to reveal their findings. They're the same team of investigators that told us about the FBI van that was burglarized and how the Washington, D.C. mayor has been obstructing the investigation by telling the Metropolitan Police Department to stand down. So we'll find out tomorrow some new evidence, hopefully.
Any word or idea that if there is anything that was found that's going to be presented as far as new evidence or,
Don't know yet.
There's anything like that? Okay.
We'll find out tomorrow around 11 a.m. There's at least maybe two new things that will unfold. We'll see what the DNC lawyers tell us on Wednesday, and we'll see what that press conference holds in the morning.
Okay.
This is amazing stuff. You do amazing work. And you know, for people not to really get that there's something wrong with this, you know, here's my take, okay? Again, from my perspective as an investigator, look, I don't get everything right all the time, all right? Certainly I don't. I get a lot of stuff wrong. But I do know BS when I see it. I know a bogus story, and I know when somebody's lying when I see it. I know when we're not getting the whole story. And man, you know, we're not getting the whole story on this, and I know that, you know, you're really covering this really well.
I mean, you've got CNN, MSNBC, and leftists. They're like, hey, look over here. Yeah. And don't pay attention to that conspiracy stuff. Trump should be impeached. Comey and, you know, Trump colluded. Oh, that's conspiracy theories, that Seth Rich stuff. Don't buy into that. Oh, look over here. Look at this London attack. Oh, don't pay attention to the fact that Bernie Sanders supporter just went and shot up went to go and murder Republicans and went on a rant for days talking about how he hates Republicans after he bought into the propaganda that CNN and MSNBC and the liberal media sold them and continued to sell them for decades and days and beating them in the head with the idea that Republicans are racist and gonna throw grandma off the cliff. And so, I mean, that's why more Americans aren't concerned. Unfortunately, when you're inundated with the same propaganda all day long, and you're, it's not, and you're a doctor or you're a baseball player, you're a, you know, you've got your own career path. Your path is not to sit here and investigate the news all day. Chances are you're going to buy into some of that propaganda.
Yeah, very well said. You know, a lot of the majority of people are busy, you know, with their families, with their careers, and with, you know, everyday life. They don't have time to dig into the news and to really find the truth of the matter, even though they should. Many of them don't see it as a priority. But I did see something interesting today. We were on Pastor Paul Begley's show earlier today, and right before the show, I found there was a CNN poll that asked if they asked their viewers if they believe Trump should be under investigation for obstruction of justice. And over 3 million people had voted by then, and over 70% said no.
Where was this poll taken?
On CNN. On CNN on,
well,
on their CNN website.
CNN saying it after CNN reported that Hillary had like a 90, all these polls, Hillary had a 97% mm-hmm. chance of winning the election. Well, then it must be somewhat true.
No, I know. But I mean, the people are,
they're like at their last, their last resort now to put that poll out there. It's gotta be, have some truth to it.
Well, Alicia, since the last time we had you on, and with pertaining to the Seth Rich story, I know Liz wrote a piece that she posted about evidence disappearing in the Seth Rich investigation. Have we gotten any more information, any updates? Whether it's a release of information, we found out where the computer is. I mean, has anything changed?
I mean, it's funny because when I first started writing about this story, we spoke with Detective Rod Wheeler. Detective Rod Wheeler was hired by the family through a third party to investigate the case. He and the third party that hired him says that before the family agreed for him to take on the case, they said, well, don't, the brother said, don't talk about the email stuff. Don't investigate the email stuff, right? Then Detective Wheeler also revealed to us that after he went to the Metropolitan Police Department to find out more information about Rich's case, they all looked at him with blank stares, only to find out later the reason why they wouldn't give him any information is because former DNC chair Donna Brazile contacted them and told them to stand down and don't give him any information. And they told the family, basically, you know, why are you hiring a private investigator? So this has already been reported almost a month ago.
Yeah.
And as far as that laptop goes, Wheeler told me he didn't know where the laptop was. And then I spoke to the family's, spokesman, Brad Bauman, who emphatically says anyone who says, has, investigates anything to do with Seth Rich and emails should burn in hell.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Do we know? Is he?
Said, well, the family has the laptop, and that's all I'm gonna say about that. So, I mean, and the Washington D.C. police have the laptop, and the family. So, I mean, the family has the laptop, according to the family spokesman. That's not news to me.
Yeah, and I can see.
That's more peculiar.
I can see that.
The family has the laptop, then. What's up with this family? Like, do you want the truth to come out? Do you want to help your find your son's killer, your brother's killer, your murderers? Is it the DNC? Then it goes, all right, well, there's reasons behind it. Are they paid off? Are they facing threats? Both? Who knows? But I mean, we've exhausted it with Seth Rich, but we're still gonna find out more information. And I think Americans, more so I feel the sentiment of Americans is just like, oh, that's conspiracy and you should pay it no mind. Well, someone's got it. We're letting Democrats try to impeach Trump with all of his nonsense hearings about Russia and Comey. I mean, Russia and Trump colluding. But
Well, see, conspiracy theories.
Is it really so wrong to talk about Seth Rich then?
Conspiracy theories are only okay if they're being used the way that the left and the establishment want, apparently. You mentioned Brad Bauman. Has there been any revelations or do we know? I heard some speculation and I haven't seen it.
She did a good impression of him, too. I like that.
Well, I spoke to him. I'm like, whoa, geez, sorry. Why are you getting so mad? All I said was email. All I said is WikiLeaks. If there's nothing there, if there's no there, why are you acting like Farrakhan as soon as I bring it up?
Do we know if Brad Bauman is a DNC PR guy or strategist?
He is a political crisis consultant that works for, He actually, I was told by the by Wheeler and the person who hired him that he was assigned to the family by the DNC.
Okay. Alicia, we're up against the break. We got a number of questions to get into when you come back, covering a few topics. Folks, you're listening to Alicia Powell on this edition of the Hagmann Report. Alicia is a writer at WorldNet Daily, and we got some great announcements. I don't think we're getting to them now with WorldNet Daily and the Hagmann Report, but you will be hearing about them soon. And she is a writer there. You can see if you're watching the YouTube screen. You can see her articles, the history of her articles there. Check them out. Read them. She's a great journalist. We'll be right back with Alicia after these short messages. Don't go anywhere.
Visit HagmannReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
There shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be.
Folks, I'm going to direct your attention to MasterPreps.com. MasterPreps.com. Wow. MasterPreps.com, the sponsor of our show, MasterPreps.com. That's MasterPreps.com. Take a visit there. High-quality items, made-in-America items. I mean, anything, everything you could possibly want, from cooking utensils, cooking frying pans. It is... It'll blow you away. Absolutely, Eric's a...
It's insane. I mean, wow. Look at the products.
Folks, visit MasterPreps.com. Again, welcome to the Hagmann and Hagmann Report family. MasterPreps.com. I mean, wow. It's insane.
MasterPreps.com. Are you ready for what comes next?
Hi, I'm Grace Gonzalez from Caring Close in the Woods. We are an American family-owned company founded and built on skills and knowledge gained from responding to 18 major disasters in the U.S. and around the world. We found that most people don't have enough food and water to survive, let alone any medicinals to save their life. We are offering 25% off our must-have American Heritage Armies kit. It contains 12 homeopathic armies, a booklet that goes over everything in your kit, and our brand new book, Major Disasters Lessons Learned. Just enter coupon code HAGMAN. In life or a disaster, you must be able to take care of yourself. You may not be a medical doctor, and your grandmother and your great-grandmother probably weren't either, but they still knew how to minister to their family's health issues, and so can you. Check out our American Heritage Armies kit at www.changelessandwoods.com. Your life may depend on it.
Hello, everyone. This is Joe Charles, the guy whose voice is heard announcing for the Hagmann and Hagmann Report right here on YouTube and across the Global Star Radio Network. There have been many people wondering whose music is being played during those breaks. Well, you guessed it. And we're very pleased to announce that all that music and 11 brand new songs from the CD New Jerusalem is set for release on April 10th for download on iTunes. That means you can help support my ministry and be blessed by this awesome, inspiring recording. I have been fortunate to work with some phenomenal musicians from around the world that helped us put this recording together in the studio. Simply go to joecharlesmusic.com and click on the iTunes link. Or, if you'd rather have a CD, we'll send one right out to you. Just leave me your email and we'll get right back to you. And thanks to Doug and Joe Hagmann for making this all possible. God bless.
my son right there, Joe Hagman. See, I'm pointing right there. You can't. If you're listening to Global Talk, you can't see that. And Eric the Tech's not Global Star. And Eric the Tech Global is not Tech. Global Talk, Global Star. Anyway, now there he is. Right. Okay.
Thanks.
Yeah. Just see that little flash.
Computer, my mouth open.
Yeah. Anyway, folks, thank you so much for joining us. And you know, sometimes you just have to lighten the mood a little bit. It gets a little tense and, you know, things happen. Our very special guest, Alicia Powe, P-O-W-E. Follow her on Twitter. And in fact, she's just gangbusters there. A lot of great information. Also on WND is where she writes. That's her home. Bookmark WND. Bookmark WorldNet Daily. Follow her, read her articles. They're fantastic articles. I'm going to kick it over to you, my son, Joe.
Yeah, and, during the break, Alicia Powell is our guest. WorldNet Daily is who she writes for. During the break, we were talking a little bit about another subject, and it's as good as time now that I need to switch gears. Fox News. There's been a lot of changes at Fox News over the past few months. We have a writer, Peter Choka, who writes for the American Thinker, who has been writing about Fox News and their ratings, and also that they dropped, was it their fair and balanced motto? I believe. I don't know if you saw that, but Fox.
I did not see that they dropped their fair and balanced logo.
I'm going to check to make sure that's it.
Because it doesn't apply to them anymore.
Very well said. You know, they've been hiding their anti-Trump bias, you know, with some hosts, and other hosts don't hide it at all. But they definitely have, you know, they're partially owned by one of the princes in Saudi Arabia. They are not, as much as they pretend to be a conservative outlet, they are not a conservative outlet. Some of the hosts may be, but they do a great job of intermixing them with these, you know, liberal people like Shepard Smith and others.
I don't have a problem with liberals on Fox News, right? That is a part of fair and balance. What I do have a problem with is the way they treated Bill O'Reilly. He's been on, he basically has built the network from its, you know, inception. He's been the top rated host for 20 years and he's let go amid, like, in a very, he doesn't even say goodbye, because of sexual harassment allegations. These are the same allegations they tried to make for him back in 2006. Democrats have been trying to destroy Fox News from as long as I've been engaged in politics, right? All throughout college, Fox News is a Republican network. It's the Bush network. Like, it's the only network on television where you're, and the only place on television, with the exception of Newsmax, that's brand, you know, just spawning, and One American News Network that's cut like 2 or 3 years old, 4 or 5 years old, and doesn't have half the audience that Fox News has. It's the only place you're going to get conservative perspective from. And the left is trying to silence that, all opposition. And they finally were able, you know, we won the election, conservatives, Republicans, we won the White House, we won the Senate and Congress, but the left is still somehow winning because they are waging this war, this censorship battle. They're doing it on Facebook. They're doing it on Twitter because they can't control this new, you know, all this new information, Breitbart, InfoWars, WND, et cetera. There's so many news outlets and even, you know, bootleg news outlets that are still passing on the information. And, so, finally, they got out their number one target. The guy who has the 8 o'clock primetime spot, number one for 20 years, Bill O'Reilly. And then they don't even say goodbye. The same network that has this show, Outnumbered, where there's 6 women sitting on both sides of the couch with their legs crossed and mini, super mini skirts on, and there's one guy sitting in the middle. What is that supposed to, what kind of messaging is that, right? For a network that is letting go Bill O'Reilly for sexual harassment, but they have this image that they're constantly promoting every day at 11 o'clock of some man sitting in the middle of the couch with 6 chicks. And then women like Megyn Kelly, who wear spaghetti straps at 9 o'clock during primetime coverage during the election, and wants everybody to be okay with her being sexy, claims Bill O'Reilly and Roger Ailes sexually harassed her. Well, what qualifies sexual harassment in this day and age, in this vulgar day and age where people like Kim Kardashian are treated like monarchy in our society? Is it, oh, you have a nice dress? Women can use sexual harassment as a weapon. Oh, he grabbed me by the arm. I'm abused. Women have a, you know, we're all victimhood and stuff, except all of that victimhood stuff always swings back to reverse isms. Reverse racism, reverse sexism. All of the isms are reversed to being the person who was a victimhood having more power and taking advantage of that power and abusing that power.
You know,
because if you're going to dress provocatively, then expect people to look at you provocatively.
And Lisa, do you think what we're seeing with, in the larger sense, and I'd like to look at the big picture here. You had obviously what you're referring to, Bill O'Reilly. Sean Hannity was the back in April, the last straw by one of his detractors, a serial detractor, in my view, my opinion, made some allegations. Bottom line is.
Then you have the sponsors too.
Yeah, and the sponsors. Is this an orchestrated takedown, Alicia, do you believe? Or is this just a whole bunch of coincidental bad timing of things?
No, it's definitely an orchestrated takedown. Just as orchestrated as it was where, you know, as soon as all this stuff about spirit cooking comes out of the Clinton emails, and as soon as they get shellacked during the election, and all of a sudden we see stuff about fake news. Fake news, fake news, fake news, this is fake news, that's fake news. We didn't hear that term before. And it came from people like, you know, Jeff Zuckerberg and the founder of Facebook. And it came from top Democrats. Fake news, fake news, fake news campaign. And that's part of it. And it's part of silencing opposition. And, it's part of getting the liberal base angry enough about this opposition to go out and shoot people like Hodgkinskin did this past week. So yes, it's orchestrated. The left is masterful in their propaganda campaigns and their orchestrations, where we see all kinds of unorganization and no teamwork on the conservative side, right? Where we just let them slander President Trump and try to impeach him. How dare we would have no backbone to investigate Seth Rich. And speaking of Sean Hannity, that was another way they tried to take down Sean Hannity recently, and he lost advertising for bringing up Seth Rich. He was the only one on the television that was doing that, was talking about Seth Rich. Well,
yeah,
besides One American News Network, and he was talking about it before One American News Network was. And most people haven't even heard of One American News Network yet. So, yeah, it's orchestrated, and we saw Hannity do a good job of weathering that storm and keeping his spot, even though Twitter was saying he was fired. Everyone on social media was saying he wasn't going to come back from his Memorial Day vacation, but he did, and he didn't cower, you know. So.
Yeah, but it's a disturbing trend, and I don't know why we've seen them kind of back off a little bit. Maybe because they were unsuccessful with Hannity and his sponsors. But this is a problem, in our opinion, that is just died out a little bit. It's not going away. It will come back, and they will use these tactics against anybody in the media or otherwise, as we've seen countless examples of, to try to push their will into these other corporations and businesses so they can have their way. But as you said, Sean Hannity did a great job of making sure that he did not fall victim to this. And, you know, that's, in this day and age, that's a tall task all by itself.
Well, it takes having a spine, something we don't see from a lot of people who are so-called leaders. And the good news is Bill O'Reilly said on Saturday night during the No Spin Zone tour that he's launching his own network, which I think is a good thing. And the more networks, the more news media outlets that come up, especially with someone founding them like Bill O'Reilly, the better. So that's good news.
And from what I understand, he also teamed up with Glenn Beck, I think, and has been doing segments on The Blaze and a few others.
Yeah.
Writing for the Hill, I believe, a little bit too. So he hasn't gone away. And if he does launch his own network, it's always good when people do that, because it brings more diversity into the media. Alicia, kind of switching gears here, what's going on with Donald Trump and Hugo Chavez?
Well, I know Venezuela has been basically
wondering. President Trump in Cuba, I'm sorry.
Cuba.
Cuba. Yeah, well, I was wondering where you were going with that.
I'm sorry.
Sorry. Well, I think that the president is basically backtracking from the appeasement of socialism that we saw President Obama partake in his last few years of office and get rid of. The people, my family just, well, my grandmother was Cuban and one of my family members just came back from Cuba. And when you see pictures of Cuba, it looks like a third world country, right? And reason being is because of those communist policies. And for Barack Obama to have, you know, basically, backed the socialist government is not going to help the people and it's not going to better the country. And all it is, allowing these this poverty to perpetuate, and that's basically what leftists do anyway, stand behind a platform that's under the guise of social mobility, which really thwarts social mobility.
Okay. Excuse me. Yeah, we see the walking back of the Obama policies on Cuba, and I guess it doesn't matter what Trump does. He's gonna catch crap from all directions every time he makes a decision, and this is obviously no different from any other time. Alicia, we got about 15 minutes left to go. Where do you want to go that we haven't touched
on
yet?
Because rather than ask her where she wants to go, can I ask you, Alicia, what do you think? Okay, part of the deep state, and forgive me for my interruption, which is so rude all the time. But where the war that has taken place against the presidency, the president, Donald Trump, I said this today on Pastor Paul Begley's show. I've been saying this all along. In my view, Alicia, what's taking place is not just an attempt to quote kill the presidency, not literally necessarily, although I wouldn't take that off the table. Or kill the president. It's to kill the presidency, to take down our nation. The Republicans in name only, the never Trumpers, part of the deep state, part of the shadow government, whatever you want to call it, deep state, I guess. What the heck? What's their agenda as we move forward here, specifically, to the best of your assessment?
Well, it seems like they are not standing, they're not telling Democrats to stop these calls for impeachment. There really is nothing that President Trump has done that's unconstitutional. But, I mean, all that you can really speculate and gather from the obstruction that Republicans, anti-Trump Republicans are engaging in. I mean, it's different for different people, right? Look at John McCain, who comes out and says that President Trump, Barack Obama was a better leader under President Trump. I mean, than President Trump was. And also you had, Jason Chavez, who's retiring from the Congress, also come out and say that, President Obama was better than President Trump, has a stronger leader.
That really angered me to hear that. I don't know about you, but to hear these, to me, these are very low blows. And you talk about disunity when it matters, or when unity matters the most. We're seeing these rats, and I mean rats, that are really taking shots at our president. And I'm not too happy about this, but go ahead.
Well, where's their bold and insulting comments against the Democrats? We always see them want to work across the aisle, to work with Democrats, but they're okay with insulting the Republican president. they want to appease Obama and, you know, work across the aisle with Obama, but they're okay with Democrats saying, let's impeach Trump and let's keep investigating Trump. So Trump's really in this alone in many respects. And, you know, people like McCain, perhaps they're jealous. Perhaps he holds a vendetta against Trump for saying that he wasn't a real war hero. Trump said he likes war heroes who don't get captured. I mean, I guess, you know, that is a bruising, that is an ego-bruising remark.
Yeah, I watched a compilation of President Trump, then candidate Trump, really rip up some people, you know, from Marco Rubio to Jeb Bush to, yeah, so I guess there's some payback or whatever you'd want to call it, bad blood.
And you just see a follower mentality coming out of the Republicans, you know, they aren't willing to say anything controversial. They aren't willing to take a stand. We saw this during the presidential election, right? We saw Trump's leadership qualities stand out where everybody was going to keep saying the same politically correct thing. There's so many examples in that. One of them could be where, you know, Ben Carson didn't hear his name getting called out. And the rest of them just kind of patted Ben Carson on the back. Well, sorry, buddy. You're slow. You didn't hear them call your name during the presidential debate. And Trump stood next to Ben Carson and allowed everyone to walk onto the stage while the rest of them just kind of, oh, sorry, pal, you're pretty slow. So they said to the, you know, cheated the neurosurgeon on the stage. So there's an example of the mentality that we're looking at in Washington, D.C., on Capitol Hill, on the presidential campaign, which is why Trump won and Cruz didn't. And the rest of them all fell down as little weaklings because they are not willing to take a stand and to say and do what needs to be done at the time that we're in now, facing the enemy that we're facing now, which is, you know, the media supporting ISIS and the media basically instilling a mental illness in people enough that's filled with enough animosity from them to come out and assault us, assault conservatives, kill conservatives. So what's to become of it? I can't say. I don't know. We saw President Bush get slapped in the face left and right against Democrats. I mean, from Democrats, and he never spoke out against the media like Trump has. But we also saw us lose wars because he wasn't able to galvanize American support enough for there to be the hearts and minds of the American people to lead us to victory in these wars. So I think it's so early in the Trump administration. We're just about 5 months in. And
yeah, 150-some days.
It's not very long at all. Eventually, this Comey Russia stuff is going to die down because there's nothing there. Unless you find out Seth Rich leaked the emails. And then that, you know, that still won't get the merit it deserves, probably, because the Democrats are in control of the mediums of propaganda and movies and culture and awareness. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, unfortunately, they are in control of the communication methods to the people. Any talk in D.C., one, about everybody, I've been hearing a lot of people making a deal about the congressional August recess that's upcoming, and members of the GOP said they're looking to cancel the August recess to be able to get more of the agenda through. Have you heard anything about that?
Well, let's see, even if they do cancel the August recess, will they be able to get any more of the agenda through? What's really stopping them from getting the agenda through when they have enough votes, right?
Right.
I mean, except that there's a couple of Republicans in there who aren't going to participate in what needs to be voted on, or they're going to, I mean, we're outnumbering Democrats, so there should be stuff moving, but there's obstructionists on Capitol Hill who are Republicans who hate Trump. One of them is John McCain. Another one of them was obviously Jason Chaffetz. We can't really trust Paul Ryan. We can't really trust Mitch McConnell. There's lots of them we can't really trust, and they made their true colors clear during the presidential election. Maybe they've come around, but doesn't look like they have. I mean, it's really a about priorities.
And I think
the Freedom Caucus makes good points, but we need to pass legislation and amend it, right? We need to get rid of Obamacare and amend it. That would be a win.
You know what bothers me the most is Alicia, that's somewhat related to what we're talking about here is the judiciary, the judicial branch. One of the key elements of any administration is the judiciary. And I think that Donald Trump has been hobbled by the lack of appointments, lack of personal appointments, getting the right people in under sessions, not taking control over the placement, the selection of the people in the judicial branch. My question is to you, and I sent this out on my personal Twitter account today. I think that Donald Trump should put the pressure on Sessions or the judiciary, the proper people, to flat out fire Mueller. That's what I believe. The hell with the optics. Get rid of Mueller.
Yeah, while you're at it, get rid of Koskinen at the IRS. But why not? Why not? Why are we investigating? Why the suspicious Trump got rid of Comey? We wanted him to get rid of Comey. Look what Comey let Hillary Clinton get away with.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
So, I think Trump needs to be a little more aggressive, but I think it's also calculated, right? He ultimately did get rid of Comey, and he didn't do it. I'm sure there's other things that are being calculated by the administration than just now. And he's juggling a lot, right? It's back to judges. What about the immigration ban?
There you go. And that's why I like you. Because you think in multiple levels. Your analysis is really spot on, I believe. You do great analysis you look at the situation and you game out different things. And you're one of the few investigative journalists that I've seen do that. So thank you for doing that.
Yeah. In just 5 short months, President Trump has, launched war with, he's had break back and forth with North Korea, back and forth with Syria.
Yeah.
We're getting, obstructed by the appellate judges in the courts for letting this Trump ban on the temporary ban on immigrants from these terrorist-ridden countries come to our nation, right? It's wrong to vet immigrants. We're trying to build a wall. There's so much, and in 5 months to really say, the president hasn't done enough, I think is absurd. He's moving hard on numerous fronts, and he's also being obstructed by Democrats in a way we haven't even seen. We saw how bad it was with Bush. But if the level of hatred is even more so with President Trump, because they've got to fight harder because he has come closer to winning over the hearts and minds of the American public because of his authenticity. At least during the campaign, and according to polls, he's doing well in the polls too. So he's up against a lot, and we just need prayer and support of people who all he has is are Americans, right? We can't say, obviously people from the Trump White House have been leaking information. We can't entrust the intelligence agencies. You see, we can't trust the FBI with Comey's situation with Hillary or with Seth Rich, right? They've obstructed that investigation, it seems, or with the fact that James Hodgkinson, they refrained from saying that him shooting up Republicans was an act of terror, or that he had a list of names of Republicans in his pocket who he sought out to shoot that day, who were all members of the House Freedom Caucus. So I think all in all, we are on a path where we are still winning, and we need to remember that, and we need to not let the liberal media dominate the narrative.
And they definitely know what they're doing when they do that. They've been doing it for so long, but it is getting worse and worse. Alicia, we only got about a minute left before the break. Last question. Any quick thoughts on the Georgia election that's happening between Ossoff and Handel in the 6th District?
Well, the Democrats, I believe, have poured about $25 million into this congressional race.
Most expensive in history, they're saying.
And now, I believe, the Republican contender is so evil for mentioning the fact that Hodgkinson went up during an ad, that Hodgkinson went and was galvanized by leftist propaganda to go and shoot Republicans. So Republicans are evil for, she's evil, Karen, you know, for going and mentioning that. Now, this race is supposedly for liberals going to, you know, if the Democrat wins, then that's supposed to be a testament of how Americans hate Trump.
Yep.
And all the polls have been showing that the Democrat was going to win. Ossoff is going to win until the, you know, it's boiling down to where Americans are going to vote, and the real polls don't show that. So now they're, what if we lose?
Yeah. Alicia Powell from WorldNet Daily, thank you so much for joining us tonight. You did a fantastic job. We covered a lot of ground. And it was great as always. We look forward to having you back on in the future.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
God bless you. Thank you.
God bless you.
All right. Folks, Alicia Powell, you know what, Joe? I love the way she writes, too. Folks, check her out at WND.com, WorldNet Daily. She a fantastic investigative journalist. Really, some great stuff. Great investigative reports on WND.com.
We'll be right back after this break with Sergeant Tim. Don't go anywhere.